God, people that can shout to the top of their voice, praise God, love God, praise Him in the dance, and all these wonderful things. And then when they settle down, I like to see them just eat that Word of God and drink that Spirit of God in until they just get filled up and overflow. People like that will be, and they'll be great, and they'll be mighty. And of course, that's what God's looking for. So I could tell my wife, you know, I do exceedingly tremble sometimes. Sometimes I'm by myself talking to the Lord, and I just a little bit tremble. Because I get to thinking about God, and I think, oh my God, I want to minister righteousness. I've got to answer to God. On the day of judgment, I've got to answer to God. Mm-hmm. I look at all of you, and all of you got to answer to God. Every person that's ever born in the world, down through the generations of millions and billions of people will have to answer to God. Mm-hmm. I thought about Moses. He led 600,000 people out of Egypt, not counting the children.
Amen.
And those people had to answer to God through Moses.
Amen.
And I thought about God, you know, it's such a great, terrible thing. The Bible said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I travel all over the world, I see people shouting and howling and screaming, and ain't got a leg from God. Ain't got nothing. They're like a dry current fueled in the wind, boys. They just make a lot of noise, and that's all it is to
them.
Sometimes, you know, a green field, when it's bad, it's got corn in it. All the time the wind blows, you might not hear nothing, but just a little, but it's got plenty of grain. It's yielded. But that don't mean that people that holler and shout don't have anything. You know? They can have a dry field of extent and maybe it's fixing to yield its harvest. But I learned that if you get them together, you know, if you get them together, that's when you got something. You get it all together. I think about God, and I think about Miriam. One minute she was beating her timbrel, she was hollering and singing, and all the ladies was following her, and they was having a shouting good time. And the next minute she was complaining and murmuring and groaning and fighting and all the preacher. I'm probably the guy about here right there. Anyway, something happened to her. So, wherefore the Bible said out of the same mouth comes forth blessings and cursings. This ought not to be. So the Bible said that you don't get good water, you get a water out of the same fountain. Seldom you need to make a difference. You know, when we shout and holler, praise God, when we're out away from the preacher and he can't hear us, and everything seems to be kind of silent, we'll blame somebody. So praise the preacher. Praise the preacher. Don't curse him. Say, praise the preacher. Somebody said, well, bless God, I ain't praising no man.
Come on down.
Well, Paul said it's a good thing I praise you. He's getting a little better. That's a trouble in with the praise football players and the praise dignitaries. And they praise everybody but the ministry and them that's serving God. And they say something good about them. They say, you don't give God's glory to nobody else. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. I guess I'm up to holler too. Now, last night, you listened, and you listened real good. You shouted and praised God, and you sang, and then when I came up, then I had a little trouble with the throat, but it's a little better. Not really with the throat, it's just a change of weather and change of country so much. But last night when I talked, we got into a few things that led to a few things, that led to a few things that pointed to some more things. And tonight, there's a whole lot of things on my heart I'd like to say. I don't know just exactly which way to go because you got a good spirit to praise the Lord, and I don't want to put a damper on that. You know, for your heart, praise the Lord. I don't know anything that's better. But still, the Bible says, be still.
Amen.
And know that I'm the Lord. So I learned that there's a time for all things. Time to praise the Lord. There's a time to be still. There's a time to listen to that still, small voice.
Amen.
I've got some things that I don't know whether they'll come forth or not. Last night they were very pretty because there was some hungry hearts. And there's some things that I'd like to have a little follow-up on from last night. But I don't know just exactly where I'll go tonight. I talked to my wife about something today. And my wife, she's the kind of person that she won't say amen if she don't believe in it. Even if I say I talked to her about some things today as pertaining to the meeting tonight. And it wasn't pertaining to the word, it was pertaining to some decisions. But I didn't clarify a few things with her, and she's still a little bit disturbed at me. I'm going to read some scripture, and if the Lord will let me get into the mind of Christ, I would like to try to pick up a few things that we were talking about last night, because we didn't finish what we were saying. I got so far along and I said some things that was apparently edifying, because even the sister called us before we came in tonight and said she was telling us that she learned some things that she had never known before out of the message last night. And I went part of the way with some things last night, and it was getting along about 10 o'clock, and I began to back off because I didn't want to keep the people late. Folks, I'm real serious about serving Jesus. Serving God is the serious thing with me.
Amen.
It's a matter of life and death.
Amen.
And the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. And the Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the word.
Amen.
No matter how religious we are, how spiritual we seem to be, if we don't have the word of God embedded with our heart, we can't have faith. You can't get faith any other way. You can't get faith shouting. You can't get faith praying. You can't get faith by fasting. You can't get faith by trying to do good, leaving all the things and trying to be old. Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. And you've got to hear the word. I said the other night, just mere believing is not faith. Just to believe isn't faith. You can believe anything you want to, but that doesn't mean that you have faith. See, if you believe there's one God, you do well, the devil believes also. That doesn't give him a thing. That doesn't make him anything. That's to God. See, but when you hear the word of God, and then you believe the word of God, that is faith. That is faith. And the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And I don't want to see death, do you? Death is not a friend of mine. That might be a friend of yours, but it's not a friend of mine. And the Bible teaches death is not a friend to God. You know, back at Bethlehem there, we have lots of people. Our people are all kind of people, Spanish people. You know, there's brown people, there's black people, there's white people. And we have yellow people that come in there, we have red people that come in there, we have all kind of people. But not all of them are right with God. Not all of them are right with God. They all shout alike and they praise God. Because the rain comes down on the just and the unjust. See, when that rain comes down, it comes down on that briar and on that wheat.
Amen.
And that little briar is just as happy about it as the wheat is.
Amen.
Because if the briar don't get it, it don't live either.
Amen.
It's by the grace of God that all of us is alive.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I knew people that goes out there to their ball games. They say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
They're playing.
Amen.
They'll say, glory to God, how let my team win.
That's right.
I'm telling you how to do this. Like some friends I've had in the past, professional men in boxing, I've had them to tell them, they get over the corner, and they'll take that man, shake him up a little bit, you know. Say, glory to God, you can knock him out. Glory to God, you can knock him out.
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen. Come on.
He said, I don't believe that. Well, that's what it goes.
That's right.
I don't know for sure.
Right.
You know, you can do it. God, let him knock him out.
Amen.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't either. You know, for the healings of
The
Bible said choose not to wear the heathens.
That's
not for the
heathens.
Well, anyway, they come and tell me about all these things. And it's like a vision I had one night. I had a vision. And in this vision, I have a lot of visions, and I'm sure you do too. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to visions and revelations. I visioned one night, and in this vision, I heard a great, outstanding revival. People were screaming and hollering. You know how people do in God makes the movie, you know, somebody gets healed or something happened. People start praying to the altar. And it spreads like fire. We have to spread like fire for miles and miles around. But anyway, in this vision, I went over to this place. I heard all this noise, and I went over to this place. And when I got over to this place, I went in. There was looking like hundreds of people. And I thought, my, what me? And I got in there, and I got to listening. And they were praying for their ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shouting over the ball game. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
And they were just praising God over the ball game. And I thought, my God, let me get out of this place. I got out of that place and I started to walk. And I started walking, I was walking down a walkway, and all of a sudden, you know, there's this clear ground around me, nothing around me, and all of a sudden something just come up out of the ground. And it was a long thing, long, round, tubular sort of thing, like some of these big jets, 747s that we fly on. You know? And it just come up out of nowhere, seemingly anything. And it didn't have any doors, windows, or anything in it. All of a sudden, a door opened to it. And when it did, something just like that said, like that. It pulled me right into it. And then the enclosure, and I found myself in tune to that thing. And I was standing there, and I was about hysterical. And then I looked, and here comes somebody walking along. You know, like a woman. And she was like this. Oh my God, what is this? And they're like men, you know. And maybe a woman would come with a child like this. And I thought, my God, that's a bunch of zombies. I thought, where am I? What is this? And I remember, as it was in the vision, they were going down this way, which also connected with another vision when I saw going down this way. And at the end, I saw going down like a conveyor. And they were going down into hell. And I said, my God, let me out of here. Let me out of here. What is this? And I heard a voice, and the voice said, this is the people at the ball game.
Amen.
The Bible said, they that live in sin and pleasure are dead while they live. And some are twice dead and plucked up by the root. I'm talking about serving God, folks.
Amen.
I'm talking about being serious. I'm talking about going to heaven.
Yes.
I'm talking about pleasing the God of heaven. You know, as long as we got life, I've got plenty of life, and you've got plenty of life. As long as we got plenty of life, we can go where we want to. We can do what we want to. We can go to ball games. We can make money. We can spend. We can get education. We can fly all over the world, which we do that.
Amen.
You know, we can do those things. Because we've got plenty of life. And it doesn't seem much to think about God. Because God is love and God is everywhere. And God is for us and ain't nothing going to happen. All we've got to do is do whatever we want to and it's going to be all right. Folks, you know that ain't right. That ain't Bible. See, you're going to have to live holy. I'm going to have to live holy.
Amen.
We're going to have to be holy not just in spirit as being born again, but the Bible said be holy in body.
Amen.
And the Lord said let us go on to be perfect. We're going to be perfect.
Amen.
See, and we've got to live holy, and we've got to live godly, and we've got to be a light to people that are around us. That our light might so shine that men may see our good light.
Yes.
Our good works around the world, mm-hmm. and glorify our good Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
See, we're going to have to do this. So that's why that I say what I do. Sometimes I tremble. I think about God. I'm just talking with you for a minute to hear how I feel the atmosphere felt last night. So I thought about Moses. I thought about God. And there came God down from heaven to talk to Moses. And here he was looking at Pharaoh through that cloud of that angel.
Yes.
And here he was coming down talking to Moses. And he would say to Moses, he would say, go down to Egypt. Go down there and tell him I'm going to rain hail down. And the Bible said, and the fire run along the earth.
Yeah.
And the power of God defied those people.
Yeah.
And every word, God said, Moses, this man cursed. He cursed God. Take him out and let the people lay their hands on his head and stone him to death.
Amen.
And I see where he looked down to that cloud and pulled the wheels off of the chariots of Pharaoh. 600 chariots.
Right.
Caught him in the middle of the Red Sea.
Amen.
And let the waters just swallow him up.
Amen.
And I thought, Almighty God, I'm dealing with Almighty God. I've got to stand before Almighty God like Moses did. You've got to stand before God.
Amen.
A God that's great and mighty and terrible in power.
Amen.
In majesty and glory.
Amen.
And I think that I've got to stand. I've got to meet him. I've got to answer for everything I've thought. Everything I said. Everything I've ever done.
Amen.
And we have all these great evangelists that's doing the things they're doing. Taking millions of dollars from the people.
Yes.
And still living like they're living.
Yes.
Living like they're living. Out on the beaches where there are frogs. Come on, Moses.
Amen.
Let's talk about the street that some of them live on.
Right.
Out on the beaches, stripped down in bathing suits, running around the houses and shores.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm talking about reality.
Right.
Somebody says, well, them blessed saints, them saints. Let's not say that. Saints don't go around like that. Somebody said, be careful with that. I'm very careful. I said, they're haters. Saints don't go around like that. They don't go around like that. They don't dress like that. Somebody say, hallelujah. I'm talking about making a noise and shouting. This is what I need to shout at. When you get to go and shout at all the other mouth, it means you got to get it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. Talking about some things, and as the people gradually got into it, we began to say some things that it might have been a little contrary to your thing, because preachers do that. Brother Hill, he'll get up and he'll preach something, it might be a little contrary to your thinking. But folks, listen, if everybody comes to church with this thought in mind, they come to church and you know they're set there. And people do this. And they sit there and they think, well, we already got saved. Come on now. And then they'll say, I don't think you believe what happened. Come on now. Mr. Walmart said a little while. I'm going to see. I'm going to see what he says here. And I'm going to see if he believes like I do. Let me tell you something. We're not supposed to come to church to find out if the preacher believes like we believe. We're supposed to come to church to learn to believe the way the preacher believes. He's the preacher.
Amen.
Isn't that right? If you're just going to come to church just to find out what he's got to say, and if he don't say it the way you believe it, well, you're never going to be anything but what you want to start with. You're never going to grow with anything. You know, you don't go to school and listen to the professor and says, well, we'll see if he believes the way I believe. I'm humble. You don't go to college like that, do you? No. See, we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. That's what the preacher's for. When Brother Hicks gets up to say something, he's been with God. He's taught with God. He's learned something from God. And he can come here to share that with you. Isn't that right? Alright, just want to find out where we're living tonight. Alright, so that's the way it is. We've come here and, Lord, of course, believe it or not, preacher might say something contrary to what you believe. Say something maybe that you don't really understand.
Alright.
But this is the way I tell my audience a lot of times at the thing. Think like this. You know, you don't want to make your faith shipwreck. And you cannot reach out and get something that you don't understand.
All right.
You want to keep your faith solid with God, and you don't want to grab something up and run out and act for something when you don't know what it is.
Amen.
Even if the preacher says it.
All right.
Amen.
But what you do want to do is say, oh, wait a minute, that was a preacher that said that. If I don't understand it, I'm not the authority on it. I'm not the one to say, bless God, it ain't right. Amen. Just put it over here in a coat. And said, I'll just wait till I digest that and find out what that's all about.
All right.
I'll just wait till God shows me where that's right or wrong. So don't tell me what.
That's right.
And just stay with what you got. Stay with what you got. Don't try to fit it in there and make a face shift with it. Just keep what you got. And then when you can digest a little more, you understand a little more, work that on in.
Amen.
And that way you don't make your face shift with it, and you don't run off, you know, and dwarf yourself. The Bible speaks of the dwarf not being able to enter into the congregation of righteous as to the Old Testament standards.
Amen.
You know, they were living in discouragement. But the thing is, you won't dwarf yourself, and you'll grow big and great in the things of God. So then tonight, as we think about this, as just for a few minutes, to be still, to know that I'm God, to be still, to listen to the small, still voice. Elijah went off, and God, he met him over the cave, and all of a sudden there came a terrible wind and just ripped things. But God was in the way. God has a way
of
it. It's God's will. And God did it.
Amen.
But he wanted to teach Elijah a lesson.
Amen.
God was in the way. And all of a sudden, this devouring fire swept down.
That's right.
God was in the fire.
That's right.
God brought the fire. God has his way. It's God that caught the burden. You believe that, don't you?
Yeah.
And then after a while, there came a small, steel bolt. And he said, Elijah.
Amen.
What do you stand here?
Hallelujah.
See, sometimes, like David of old, the whirlwind will hit the top of the tree like that. It is round and around, and you can hear the leaves just roll. And God will speak out of the whirlwind.
Amen.
And sometimes, a small, still voice.
All right.
It comes, and you don't hear nothing.
Amen.
And they'll call your name. It'll say, Samuel.
Amen.
Samuel.
Amen.
You understand what I mean?
That's right. All right.
The time for all things.
All right.
And we need to praise God. I hope you understand that.
Amen.
We need to praise God. Come like our brother here tonight, and you're praising God. I thought that was so wonderful. I could feel God. I could feel the refreshment.
Amen.
And we should all the time praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Meditating His laws day and night. But on the other hand, when we come to the Word, like the brother said tonight, we want to get to the Word.
Yes.
When we come to the Word, now if I'm a man of God, if I'm sent by God, if I'm a man of God, when I come to the Word, the Bible said, he that God sends will speak God's Word.
Amen.
And if I speak God's Word, then he said, it shall not be me speaking.
Amen.
It shall not be me speaking.
Amen.
But it shall be the Heavenly Father
Amen.
speaking in front of the name.
All right.
And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent.
Yes.
For God is within his temple, so the temple is all.
Amen.
And God is speaking from within his temple.
Yes.
He's speaking from within his temple.
Yes.
Saying he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'd do if I was standing before the God of all the earth tonight? The God of judgment was standing on the throne. You know what I'd do? What would I do? Say, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Would you? You'll stand there, you might be shouting all night, but you'd be shaking my belief in the Lord. You love the Lord? Well, you said too well, so fuck it. I'm saying it with one mind and one accord. Right? I know you don't shout in his presence. He's here, and I know you do shout in his presence. But I'm speaking again of seriousness. I'm just trying to use a little talk tonight to approach this before we talk with you of how serious it is in talking about Jesus or serving Jesus. The Bible said that we might know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. You know, Paul, when he preached, it took him all night long.
Amen.
And, of course, his brother didn't die during that time, and he had a resurrection. Time Warner came in.
Glory to God.
So then, we don't have very long to preach, according to, you know, the rules and ethics of preaching in this United States. Well, pretty close. I was thinking of our sister singing tonight. They sang over there in our crusade over the Philippines. And on that great big platform full of thousands and thousands of people, they sang so beautiful. And of course, we had that. It was professionally called with the cameras for video, for television. And we had it. But they sang so wonderfully. And it's so wonderful to look back on great, wonderful events where God is moving and you're praying for the sick, or people are calling hallelujah or praising the Lord. You know, it's so wonderful. But it's so wonderful to be able to catch some of that on tape and some of that on film. Now, a little bit ago when he was hollering and praising God, and our brother was so stimulated up here, he said, God, maybe we did get that on tape. I just happened to see a tape recorder over there.
Amen.
I believe Brother Taylor did say he was going to have a tape recorder here. To get that on tape, see, that's wonderful. And then other people can hear it. Other people can enjoy it. Isn't that right? All right. So we'll talk about the word here a little bit now. In the book of St. John, it's in the 12th chapter. You've got your Bibles, you can read with us. Chapter, the 12th verse. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how he prevailed in nothing? Behold, the world was gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus.
That's right.
Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, Philip tells Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it on the life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify thee. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what dead he should die. Now, the thought here is, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, a mother can't bring forth children unless she dies. It takes her life. That's right. Bringing forth children, it takes the potentials of life out of her body. And a lot of times when she's brought forth numbers of children, her body doesn't look like it did when she was 18 years old.
That's right.
Amen.
She doesn't see herself in the mirror as she did at 18 years old.
Amen.
A young 18-year-old girl can walk up and admire her face and flip her curls around, you know. And sometimes mommy can't do that.
All right.
But you know the difference between mommy and the 18-year-old girl? Mommy's got all kinds of children out here that can come up and put their arms around her and love her and buy her nice things and say, Mother, we love you. The 18-year-old girl don't have anything like that.
All right.
You know why? Because she's never fallen into the ground to die. She's never reproduced yet. She's never brought forth anything yet. Her life is still ahead of her as to what she's going to do. See, and that's the way it is with us. We might not look like the world. Folks, we might not spoil around like the world. But the world doesn't have what we have. Isn't that right? Mother may not be so pretty. She may be out of proportion, but she may be carrying a life. And the woman that looks so good, she may know nothing about life. See, we're carrying a life. The Bible said, I travail with Christ be formed within you. And sometimes we look out of proportion to the world. Isn't that right? They don't understand why we don't go down to the sports. Draw to the things of the world and run to them to their problems. Or with them to their problems. They don't understand why we don't get excited over the things of the world. You know, we withdraw if we go away somewhere, like the women of old. Whether we're going to bring forth their child, sometimes they hid themselves. See, we are hid away with God. Hid away with God. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous and good in our saints. So that we're hid away with God. What a wonderful thought. See, this little grain of wheat, as long as it doesn't fall into the ground, it doesn't die. And then that it doesn't die, it doesn't reproduce. Isn't that right? But when it dies, then comes forth life. And this is what Jesus is saying here. See, he makes it real clear. He follows that scripture up by saying, And he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life, for my sake, Jesus said, shall gain it. He that hateth his life in this world. Folks, don't you go around a lot of times just seeing all these folks that hate their life in the world? They hate their delights so much that every time you see them, they're at the milkshake shop, they're at the hamburger shop. They're going around from store to store all day long through the vein jailing. They're buying stuff, as I said the other night, that they don't need. They pack it back like a pack rat.
Come on.
They've got so much stuff that they couldn't, but when they get something they need, they don't have any room for it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then, all these people that hate themselves, they sport around in the car, they sport around in the clothes, they sport around in their businesses. Come on.
Amen.
And they want to be on television, and they want to be a celebrity, and they want to be everything but a God man. But a God boy. What is this we're talking about? Well, we're talking about them ripeners. Don't you just see the church filled up with it? Come on.
Amen.
Just follow them when they leave the church.
Amen.
I'm talking about reality, folks. I'm talking about being God's children. And I'm talking about going to heaven.
Amen.
And I'm talking about the preachers, too. Let's get there. All right. So then Jesus says here that unless I lose my life in this world, unless I'm willing to give up my life in this world, then I'm not going to have a life in that world.
Amen.
I'm not going to have a life in that world. If I can't give up my life in this world, children of God, I'm not going to have a life in that world. Somebody says, well, I'm going to have a life in this world and the world to come. Jesus said you can't do it. You can't do it. You have a life in that world, or you have a life in this world. And the Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life in this world will lose his life in that world. He that seeketh to save his life in this world will lose his life in that world.
Amen.
But the Bible said, if a man is willing to give up his life in this world, then I will give him life in that world, and I will give him eternal life.
Amen.
So then somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I've got it figured out. I'm going to be a celebrity. I'm going to be a president. I'm going to be a governor. I'm going to be a football player. I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But if you do, you're not going to be a Christian.
Amen.
You're not going to be a Christian.
Amen.
Or somebody says, well, I know how to do it. That's what the whole church thinks. They know how to do it. Everybody's got it figured out, and it's right. When they think about it, it's right. Because the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own mind.
Amen.
I'm talking about the real way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the Word.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And Jesus said, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't save your life in this world and have eternal life. This is where the church is all mixed up. See, we're preaching too much sociality. We're preaching too much society. We're trying to educate people and give them a diplomacy in the world so that they can get to be some kind of dignitary in the world. And the preacher's pushing the thing. Because he wants us to be in society. He wants us to be in the best of communities. Come on, folks. He wants us to compromise. He wants us to do the things of the world so that we can sell in the world, because the world loves itself. And that way his pocketbook gets fatter. He's got it all figured out. Isn't that right? See, but that's not the way it works. You have a life to live. And you've got to live that life for God. Or you've got to go the other way. I've got to live that life for God. Or I've got to go the other way. I can't go both ways. The Bible said you can't serve two masters. Good water, bitter water don't come forth from the same fountain. Blessing and cursing don't come forth from the same mouth. You know? You can't do that. Somebody said, well, I curse and I bless. No, if you curse, you don't have the power to bless. You just have the strong illusion. So then somebody said, Brother Pike, I do all of these things. And I know people that do all of these things. And they're still on their way to heaven. I say again, you're having strong delusions. Somebody says, but I know that they're believers. And I know also that the devil is a believer. believe, just because they act like they believe, just because they go to church, just because they come to be with you, that doesn't mean that they are Christians. Faith by the hearing of the word and doing what God says, the fruit of that faith.
Amen.
So then we have to do what God says. The Bible said concerning the book of Job that when the children of God came to present themselves to God, Lucifer came too. Satan came too. Isn't that right? Did you know it's the same thing today? That when the children of God come to present themselves, that Satan comes also. Did you know that tonight Satan is here also? Did you know that all these people in here are not Christians? No. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And he said to me and you, said, you strive to enter into the straight gate. Except for me, you're going to be religious. We are going to try and not be able to get in. Then I said, well, the only ones I know, Brother Pike, that's not going is that I said, he won't come to church. No. That doesn't have to do. He said, many shall try to get in. That's hundreds and millions of Catholic people that count beads, that do all kinds of things with holy water. I meet people overseas and all around the world that's just as religious as they can be, far more religious than you and I.
Amen.
I'm telling you, they're so religious they'll kill you over there, God. I'm talking about kill you and spill your blood right there. How that would rise up that deep. When you go into some places like we go into in Haiti and over in Africa and the different parts of the world, they're killing folks all the time. Down to places in Mexico, they're killing them before we end. Better get there, maybe they just kill somebody.
Amen.
And by faith, we make it through. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
They're zealous for their God. You go over there and stir them Jews up, and they're all going to kill you before you get out from there. I was over there the last time, they're telling me that there was just left off. Just left off in time to keep them stoning some people to death. Some Mormons got in their way. They're just going to stone them to death. They got some stones and more to kill, and the law just didn't get to them in time. See, there's a lot of zealous people in the world. So then we're talking about being serious. I have to be serious. The places that I'm going to, I can't be playing. I've got to really have God in my heart and God in my life, because I've got to have God's protection for my very life. And so that I can eat. So that I can have means of transportation or whatever. See, so then we see that there is two different lives. There's two different worlds. There's two different people. Tonight, when the sons of God came here tonight, and the Bible said, now beloved, are you the sons of God?
Amen.
See, when the sons of God came here tonight, they came and God came in their heart, because they are the temple of God. But when the others came here tonight, even though they might be believers, they came here tonight. They came with the devil in their heart. So the devil came when God came. And the sons of the devil came when the sons of God came. And that's what we're doing, is preaching. And twins are born in every being. And one of them is a believer to a bondage child, the beggarly elements of the world. That is the religious people.
That's right.
The others are sons of God that are filled with life, eternal life. And they're not just religious. They serve God.
Yes, right.
They love God. Yes. Brother Taylor said, with all of your heart, mind, strength, soul. They love the Lord.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
So then these people come together. I must preach, because judgment begins at the house of God.
Right.
According to what I study, and according to what they hear, and according to the way they receive it, as to believing it, then their sins are either remitted or retained.
That's right.
Yeah. See, I'm the minister. I have power to remit sin or to retain sin.
Amen.
Jesus says, my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And judgment shall begin at the house of God. Shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking.
Amen.
From within him. So then tonight when I speak and you hear this word, then it is God speaking to you. It's not me. Someone would say, but I see you, Brother Pike. I know you see me as a natural man.
Yes, Lord.
I know that. But see, it is the mind that's speaking to you.
Yes.
Whether it be the mind of Christ, or whether it be the mind of Lucifer, or whether it be the mind of man. There's three minds. I wish we had time to preach on while we're here. There's three mines and one brunt. Now all three of those mines have to use the same money.
Amen.
And if you don't understand, then that means that any one of them can be using your brain at any time.
Amen.
And what we've got to do is learn to differentiate between these three minds. Mm-hmm. And we've got to come to the place to where we will let only the mind of Christ be in us.
Yes.
And only the mind of Christ be through us.
Yes.
See, we've got to come to understand this. Mm-hmm. So then, when I preach here, according to your faith, and what I'm saying tonight, it depends on your faith in this word as your salvation. Jesus said, according to your faith. If you need salvation, it's according to your faith.
Amen.
If you need healing, it's according to your faith.
Amen.
See, it must be according to your faith.
Amen.
Whatever you believe, the way you hear it. The Bible said, take heed how that you hear.
Amen.
And the Bible teaches that we should give the more earnest heed to what we have heard. Come on now. That we incorporate this within our lifestyle.
Yes, that's right.
We need to come to the place to where we're not trying to get God into our life as to our lifestyle.
Yes.
Not trying to incorporate God into my life. But I need to come to the place where I will incorporate my life into God's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to get God to be with me and bless me so I can be a great evangelist.
Amen.
And I can win souls and I can go all over the world preaching. And God will give me the desires of my heart.
Amen.
Not that.
Amen.
Not that. But I need to come to the place where I'm willing to give my life, give all that I've got, give everything that I've got to God.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with us is we want God to give everything He's got to us.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is give everything we've got to God.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That's the way the early church did. They even sold the land, the house, everything. Laid it down at the apostles' feet, fed the poor, took care of the needy, and didn't say anything was there.
Great.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Talking about the word of God. Baby. So then, when I preach this word, if you believe this word, then I remit your sins, for judgment begins at the house of God. It's God speaking to you. And according to the way you believe this, then He purifies your heart by faith of this word. And then the great loving Holy Spirit comes in. That's the way you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You get the Holy Spirit. He comes in. Why? Because you yielded yourself to it.
Yeah.
You're conforming to it. You want to go God's way. You want to do God's thing. You want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Right.
So we're giving up everything.
Amen.
So we're back where we started. We can't have the world.
That's right.
God requires that you give up the world.
Yes.
He requires that you give up the world. Somebody says, tell me what it said. He said, come out from among them. Be a separate people.
Yes.
Touch not the unclean things.
Yes.
And I'll receive you, said the Lord.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And the Bible said, love not the world.
Yes.
Neither the things that are in the world.
Yes.
For all that is of the world. It's the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. For the Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is unto them. Then you've got the love of the world in you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then that means we've got to give up the world. And Jesus said, if you seek to save your life in this world, if you want this world, I'll let you have this world. And if you seek to save your life in this world, then He said you're going to lose your life in the world to come. And He said, if you're willing to give up your life here for me and for my sake, He said, I'll give you life in another world that will be eternal life.
Amen.
And you'll live forever. You'll never die.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean that God doesn't want us to have anything here? No, I didn't say that. I didn't.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on. God said, if you'll serve me, I'll give you the desires of your heart, even in this world.
Amen.
And the Bible said, godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come.
That's right.
See, but here's the thing, folks. Will God give me an automobile? He's given so many I've had to give them away. He's given me Lincolns. I've given away brand new Lincolns. I've given away tractors. I've given away tents. I've given away all kinds of things. And his shovel is bigger than mine.
Amen.
He gives me so many hundreds of thousands of dollars of stuff I don't know what to do with it. I give heal. But still I have so much. I don't know what to do with it. I'm telling you the truth. Now, so then will God give to me.
Amen.
God will give me the desires of my heart if I will light myself in the Lord.
Yeah.
And he'll make me to ride upon the high places of the earth.
Amen.
And he'll feed me with the heritage.
Come on. Yeah.
His blessing, the Bible says, will make me rich. And it won't add any sorrow at all. Hallelujah. He'll make all of my bills in the time of my sickness.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to be wealth.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He makes you rich.
Amen.
Somebody would say, now that's the kind of Christian life I want right there. All right, you can have it. You can have that Christian life. What do I then have to do, Brother Powell? It's very simple. It's not much for you to do. God did it all. All you have to do is die. Let's get all right, somebody says, now, Brother Powell, you said that we're going to have life. He come to give us life, life filled up and overflowing, abundance of life, which means filled up and overflowing. He said, I'm the Prince of Life. How come that you might have life?
Amen.
Now, here you are talking so negative. Now, I'm not talking negative. It just sounds negative to negative folks. All right, so then, what are you saying? I'm saying this, children of God, it isn't until you get this thing out of your heart. You've got to get the world out of your heart, and you've got to get the love of the world out of your heart before God's ever even going to fellowship you. He can't even fellowship you unless you get the love of the world out of your heart. See, Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the king of this world. Satan saves the things that be of this world. When preachers try to get you to conform to society and go and mix and mingle with all the things of the world, you know what's wrong? Not the one thing. The preachers of the devil. The preachers of the devil. When he loves the world and he wants the things of the world and he's trying to lead you into the world, he's of the devil. You know, there's one thing I appreciate about Jesus. Jesus was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and they said something to him about Abraham being their father, God being their father. We be not fornicators. God is our father. And Jesus said, your father is the devil.
Yeah.
God's my father.
All right.
And he said, if you love God and God loves you, then you fear me because I came from God.
Yeah.
He said, you're your father, the devil. That's who your father is.
Amen.
And he said, the lust of the devil you're going to do.
Right.
Because that's what you got in you.
Amen.
You know the Lord?
Amen.
Said,
hallelujah.
All right. So we're talking about the word tonight. Talk about real Christian living. Talk about real sons and daughters of God. Talk about going to heaven and living eternal. Talk about God that's going to watch over us during this life.
Yeah.
So then what am I trying to say tonight? I'm trying to say tonight that God doesn't care how much of these things that I have of the world, such as houses, lands, cars, money. I can have a mountain of gold. He doesn't care.
Amen.
If I had a gold mine, if I had a mountain of gold, God wouldn't care. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, I had a chest about a mine that had gold in it. Didn't have time to dig it. Let's give it all. God didn't buy it. Y'all were joking, not my children. So then if I had a mountain of gold, God wouldn't care. A Cadillac, a Lincoln, a nice home, God wouldn't care.
Amen.
Fine clothing, God wouldn't care.
All right.
Would he care?
No,
he wouldn't care.
Amen.
He wouldn't care. Paul said, if I've sown into your spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal?
Amen.
If other men are partakers of these things, am I not out of more? But see, there's one thing that you can't do, folks. You can have your Lincolns, you can have your Cadillacs, you can have your homes, you can have properties, you can have money, you can have all those things. All those kind of things. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't be carnal minded. The Bible said be carnally minded is dead.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I said you can't go around with Lincoln on your mind, with fine homes on your mind, with education on your mind, with money on your mind. Somebody says it doesn't bother me, Brother Pipe. I'm just stacking up in his house that Lord in case I need it. I said, you can't be carnally minded. You can't be carnally minded. Folks, you can't have your mind on natural things.
Amen.
On your face every time you look in the mirror. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, Brother Black, I can't help but look at my face if I'm looking in the mirror. Stop looking in the mirror so much. I take care. Don't be surprised if you say
it.
There's always a remedy for every problem.
Amen.
So then, if I'm going to spend all my time polishing on this car or making sure it's all right, and some little boy comes along and he puts his little dirty hands on it, you know, like I saw this happen one time.
Amen.
You know, and you just get all out of proportion, and you blow up like a balloon, and you want to knock his brains out, and you grab the bell, you hypocrite. I said, you hypocrite. You ain't got nothing from God. Praise God, you need to wipe that little dirty prune off like that and say, Sonny boy, would you like to ride my Lincoln? Come on, I'll take you for a ride. You know, five disciples, some of them walked by, and the little fellows kept trying to get to Jesus. And they said, get away, get away. Don't come up here.
Amen.
Folks, hold on, man, don't come here. Said, get away from here. And Jesus stopped. He said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. He said, let them little folks come up here.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody says, Daddy, you watch after Junior. I'm a preacher. Amen. Come on, folks. Mom, she ain't got time for the babies.
Amen.
She's a preacher.
Amen.
Love, you sit back there and play nursemaid. Follow in another place, maybe God was at bed. Back over in Africa somewhere, we went out and shared a little bit. Did you know? For miles, children ran after us. We couldn't hardly stay in front of them. So many of them would have thrown us. Because we had a little time for the children.
Amen.
You know, we need to get out of the reality, folks. We need to get back to being people. And we need to forget about this foolish thing that's called the societies of the world and the way that they speak of society.
Amen.
You know, we need to get in church. And I told my baby tonight, I said, baby, I said, you know, there's one thing I appreciate about this church over here where we're at. I said, at least these people are original. I said, they say hallelujah, they clap their hands. I said, they're original. I said, they don't try to put on a front or put on a show. I said, they try to be something that they're not. I said, they just plain are what they are.
Amen.
You know, and that's what I like, folks.
Oh, yeah.
That's what God likes.
Amen.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
So we need to be what we are.
Amen.
We need to praise God and love God and let God know that we love God.
Amen.
And we need to eat the Word of God just like you're sitting down eating cookies.
Amen.
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 All right. So we see that God is doing something. I cannot go out into the world and take part in the world and have eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't do it.
Amen.
And if I can't do it, then you can't do it.
Amen.
God has given me all of the carnal things in life that I want. And I don't care for it. I don't go after it. I don't even take personal offerings. As I said last night, I don't even care. Money in my purse. Or in my bill. You think I'm uneducated for that. So then, I don't care anymore. I trust the Lord to give me even if I want a cocoa. If I want something to drink, if I'm thirsty, I trust the Lord to give it to me. And He gives it to me. I know this might sound far, but all over the world I go. And all the time He gives it to me. I just think I'm thirsty, and before I can even say anything to Him about it, someone will walk up, or I'll find it over there. Someone will say, oh, Brother Pike, you exaggerate. It isn't real like that. It isn't real like that. Like some of these people that come with me, at many times that they're sitting around, and I get thirsty. And without them knowing a thing about it, somebody walks in immediately One man came to visit with us not too long ago. He came from a church over in Mississippi. He was over there where we're at. And he went back and told his people, so I'm in a little shock, so I'm amazed. I marvel. Said the man just wants something to drink. He said, it just turns up. And he happened to be standing there when these things took place.
Amen.
See, because God promised to give me the desire of my heart.
Amen.
If I need $10,000, God gives me $10,000. If I need something cold to drink, God gives me something cold to drink.
Hallelujah.
Because he promised to supply all of my needs. According to his riches. You know, a lot of times we limit God in the wilderness, they limited God. And a lot of times we limit God as to our own thinking, as to our own ability, as to our own skill. And that way we don't get the things from God we ought to never do. Isn't that right? But if we would look to God, if we would believe in God's word, and if we would trust in the Lord, then we wouldn't have that problem. For God will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And you can have all the carnal things that you want. Everything that you want.
Yeah.
But you can't be carnally minded.
Amen.
If you're carnally minded, if you're looking for a career, if you're looking for some fabulous side of life, then that means you're out the devil.
Amen.
And that means that that's what you're going to get. But it means that you're going to go to hell.
Amen.
That's why millions of people flow to different churches, to where they can go to these churches where preachers will allow for these things.
Wow.
And where preachers will comfort them. Because the preacher's filled with the devil himself.
Amen.
And the preacher's wanting to give all the prestige he can.
Amen.
So that he can find his place in life, so he can get all the money that he can.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Right.
They don't come to church to find God. They don't come to church to find eternal life. They don't come to church for that. He said, what do they come to church for, Brother Potter? They come to church to get into society. They come to church for business reasons.
Right.
They come to church just because they're religious.
Right.
Because it's routine with them.
Right.
They come to church. They do all of those things.
Uh-huh.
They come to church. Like a brother said one time on the traveling evangelist, but I can't preach to a traveling congregation. Anyway, this always happens. People always do that. And we try to be kind and say, you probably got to go to work. Let's do that. I know sometimes you believe that like you believe you got a hole in your head. But anyway, preaching the gospel. People don't come to get the word of God.
Amen.
They come to shout.
Amen.
And they'll shout their shoe heels off.
Amen.
I've been in meetings.
Amen.
You know, when I wasn't tied up a little here, of course I grab the mic and I go out there and I scream and holler, you know, and everybody gets excited. Uh-huh. Oh my God, he's preaching.
Uh-huh.
And they shout and they holler, you know, and then we get to the word of God. My, everything's done. This is such a dead meeting. Such a dead meeting. You know what it is? I was having a meeting one night. I was praying for people. And we do this sometimes in a meeting. I lay hands on people. And God was showing me some things. And he does that if I take time. So as I begin to tell some people some things, here come a woman. She was standing there too. And I went to lay hands on her, and just as I went to lay hands on her, the Lord showed me something. And as just as I laid hands on her, she began to shout. She was the shoutless woman here. And she shouted and she danced and she hollered, and I couldn't say nothing. She just hollered and danced, and she just backed off like that and just danced right on the way. I felt, lady, you have some more days. With that dip of snuff, you dance right out of it. That's the preacher. She was dipping snuff. See, she wanted to shout that thing off. She didn't want me to say that. I've heard a number of cases like that. And some of them are some of the biggest shouts you've got. They hollered, my wife said something the other night. we came here to this church now. You might have all believed me now. It happens in Brother Hicks's church too. The other night, we come here the first night, and there was a lady, she was a shout and a holler. I didn't see her coming to that. My wife saw her. And my wife told me later, said, that woman hollered, said, she shouted, said, the others were shouting with her. And I said, who? And she pointed out. I said, that sister? She said, yeah. Well, you don't need to say more about that. You know what I mean? That's what happens. In the best of churches, it happens.
Amen.
So then, when we come to preach the Word of God, when we come to hear the Word of God, when we come to receive the Word of God, we should come not as the hypocrites did. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes. He said, hypocrites. Then he said it again. He said, Pharisees and scribes. He said, hypocrites. And then he said it again. He said, Pharisees and scribes. He said, hypocrites. And then he said it again. He said, Pharisees and scribes. Hypocrites. Read it over there. He just came down. One right behind him said, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. See, God doesn't like hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? Somebody will shout and praise the Lord. The Bible said praise is coming from the upright. Somebody that will shout and praise the Lord, that will go out and gospel about the preacher. That will go out and live for the devil. Will go out and do the things of the world. That will go out and be part of the things of the world. And be part of the world. That goes to the ball games. That goes to the beaches. That goes to the movies. Every time you see that they've got a paper, you say, what are you doing? So I'm just trying to find out what the score was. I don't mess with this much. You know? Are you listening? And when you look, they're right in front of the television set. You know Hollywood? They've got to be Hollywood. They want to be Hollywood so bad, they're waiting to be discovered. And one of the days, the devil's going to discover and take them on a journey. And they're going to be dramatic like you've never seen in your life. And you're talking about shouting and hollering. They're going to shout and holler. And the Bible said they're going to gnash on each other with their teeth.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
And they're going to have a revival like them people did at the ball game that I saw at the vision. But folks, let me tell you, I want to praise God. The Bible said praise God in the dance.
Amen.
When you dance, don't get back there and do a little jig so somebody will see you.
Uh-huh.
I've been under some of the big tents. And I've seen them back there, all but square dancing or catching hands with each other, slinging each other, and cutting the step, you know. I'm telling you, just like Broadway or whatever.
That's right.
Back there having themselves a time. You say, Brother Pike, what in the world was that? It was demons.
Amen.
It was demons.
Amen.
That little bride, just like you would say, hallelujah, hallelujah, pour out the water, I need some more. See, when the rain comes, it comes over just and the unjust. Everything that says, Lord, Lord, ain't right. All the glitters ain't gone. I remember coming through Arizona when I was a real young fella. And I was a hitchhiker. And I was coming down the road. Little old winding road through the mountains. And all of a sudden, I saw something in the sunlight. And my friend and I, we took off over there and we got us a chunk of it. And believe you me, we had some. I struck it rich. I thought, man, I struck it rich. Needed to. So we got our gold, and we helped over that. We rode down the road, and we got to where somebody could check it. We turned it over to him and said, we got gold. And he looked at it, and he said, you sure have. I thought, man, you're struggling at you. He said, the only thing, this is what you call fool's gold. Let's give it all that. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They've got something. They've got something that's not what they think it is. Now, you know, you can be a fool for Christ or you can be a fool for the world.
Amen.
I don't mind being a fool for Christ.
Amen.
But I don't want to be a fool for the world.
Amen.
And folks, if we're going to get into this revelation of the Son of God, If we're going to get into the deep mysteries of God, if we're going to get into the hidden things of God, we're going to have to move on with God. I say again, I don't want to take away the shouting of the church. I don't want to take away the praises of the church.
That's right.
I don't want to take away having a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
Because that's for us. God gave that to us. He gave that to us. But I know that you might not agree with what I'm about to say.
Good.
Thank you, brother. See, what I'm trying to say is this one thing. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. Those things are for the children. That's for the children.
That's right.
Now, you say, Brother Powell, you mean people that are grown up in the Lord don't praise the Lord? No, they do praise God.
Amen.
David danced before the ark of the covenant with all his might.
Amen.
See, but I'm just telling you, there's a time and a place.
Amen.
And we've got to go on. The Bible said, let us go on to be perfect.
Amen.
Let us go on to be perfect.
Amen.
Let us go on to perfection.
Amen.
Now tonight, I can't get into the revelation. Last night, there was a different anointing, a different spirit here. And I began to get into some deep things of God, and you begin to resolve. And I was going to pick up tonight so we could get into them and move a little deeper.
Amen.
You know, the prophet, he waded out in the water, and he got ankle deep, and got knee deep, and it got deeper and deeper. But tonight I saw that I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I'm just exalting you just a little bit. The Bible said exalt each other the more you see the day approaching.
That's right. Amen.
But last night you got me excited. You know, and tonight, if I got into what I was going to get into, I'd have shown up that excited. But I saw that we did. One of the reasons we got a lot more people here tonight, in the sense that we've got people that wasn't here last night. You know, that means that there's different minds, and they're on different levels, and they have different hungers, and we have to do differently. A mother has to put a little milk, put a little meat, put a little honey, whatever. You know, it depends on your congregation. I was ministering in a service a few nights ago, and I was just fixing off into some real deep things. And all of a sudden, here coming to preach with some of his people. And I kept trying to get into the anointing, to get into those things, and I couldn't. I thought, Lord, that man ain't understand nothing I'm saying. And those ladies, they're not understanding anything I say. I've got to change the whole trend of my thought just to be able to feed them. So tonight we had to try. We had to change around here, the trend of our thought. And I'm just exalting you, but I'm telling you, last night you was headed for some deep water. There's some of you here that have a hunger. See, there's some of you that have a hunger to get into what is called the revelation of the Son of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's for the church.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it's not possible for you to have it unless you can go on with God. Unless you can grow up with the Lord. Unless you can say, Lord, grant unto me the spirit of revelation. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. But he said, I can't. Seeing that you're bathed in Christ, said, just as I am sincere with the word that you might grow thereby, have a good time. Have a good time. The little one's going to shoot his marble, and he's going to ride his bike, and he's going to swing. You know, like I used to do, I'd grab your rope and swing across the branch. I had to be a good time. Of course, there came a day when I don't swing across the branch as a rule now.
Amen.
Unless I go down to the missionary fields, you know, and that's the only way to get over. But this is what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about deep things.
Amen.
Treasures.
Yeah.
The Bible said now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to that which is in the heavenly places. Paul, being called into the third heaven, saw things that wasn't permitted for him to speak. I'm talking about moving on to another heaven, folks.
Yeah.
Did you know there's more than one heaven? Paul was in the third heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
When John saw Lucifer in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, he was in the second heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
So that I'm talking about moving on with God. And I'm talking about moving into the great mistress of God.
Yeah,
I say again, as I said perhaps tonight or at least last night, why do you speak to these people in parables, the disciples said to Jesus, seeing that they understand all what you're saying. He said, because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it's given to know the mysteries. Why should I know the mysteries? Because I want to be translated. I want to be translated. And that's what that is. That is a transformation of mind.
Amen.
That is a translation of spirit. And the results of that, the end of that, is the transfiguration of a body. And the Bible said, I love to present you body, soul, and spirit, blameless before God.
Yeah.
So last night when I was talking about some of those things, we're beginning to age off into some of the mysteries of Christ. Just barely hidden into some of the mysteries. And I spoke to you about the wonderful things of God, of those that are Christians, and how they count sin. And we begin to wade in a little deep water. And we got a repercussion out of it. But some of the people believed that. Some of the people understood that.
Amen.
They accepted what I said last night. And I sure wanted to pick up tonight. And I wanted to wade in a little deeper water. And I want to go a little farther. I want to say some more things that would have been wonderful as to connect with the treasures that you have, to the heavenly treasure, as to the knowledge of God, the heavenly treasure, in your earthen vessel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're preaching in great crusades as a room, we can't say much about the revelation. I preach a little revelation in the great crusades, and occasionally I'll have a night of an audience that can receive, and I'll get into some things. But we mostly have to preach repentance, being filled with the Spirit, divine deliverance as to healing, and the other things is the average thing to the people, because they don't know anything, they don't understand anything. And folks, I'm telling you, this may sound kind of sad, and it may not even sound real, but I want you to know that around the world where I travel, I meet hundreds and thousands of ministers. Around the world, they come to our ministry because they hear about it and they want to be part of it.
Amen.
And even at the places I stay, they can hardly keep the people away. The hotel, the motels are filled with ministers and whatever, so that even the people at the hotel, they get all torpor. And I have to do something about it. But did you know, out of all the world, even here in the United States, there's not very many preachers that I meet that are spiritual.
Amen.
I know you say, Brother Pike, well, when we praise God, that's being spiritual. Well, you know, whatever you say.
Praise God.
Whatever you say. But nevertheless, I don't find very many preachers that are going into the knowledge of God and the revelation of God. They're not hungry for the things of God.
Amen.
They're contented with their lifestyle. They're contented with what they already know. They're contented with what they're doing. And their ambition is to be a celebrity, or get on television, or be in society.
Amen.
Or have a great lot of people follow them. But out here in the world, there's more than 5 billion people, as far as we know, that's waiting for a preacher to come unto them.
Amen.
I didn't just say go into the your local area. He didn't say just go into the state of Tennessee. He didn't say just go into the United States. He said all of the world. All of the world. I mean, ministers have come before me, and they are so staunch, they're so overconfident. While they can quote the Bible, they can quote Scripture.
Amen.
And they come before me so proud, like they have done such a great, mighty job. And I say, how are you doing, brother? They said, man, I'm preaching all over the United States. I said, well, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
They said, that's where you do it. I said, Lord God, I'm preaching all over the world. And they just look at me with a hollow expression, because they never even considered that. You know, they've been preaching for 10 years, and they've never even really considered it. God said, all of the world. Now, you say, well, doesn't it make them a preacher if they're preaching locally? You know, it doesn't matter if you're just preaching out there in the field, you're still just as much a preacher. But I'm just saying, folks, there's a job to do. There's a job to do. As I said the other night, we don't have to run and try to take somebody's church. We don't have to stay in some little community fighting with each other. I've seen so much of that in my life. When somebody's afraid that somebody else is going to be his member. I tell you, I've had members in my lifetime. I sure was thankful when the other preacher got them. Anyway, God can help them get them. I tried to do it. You love the Lord? So then, it might be God trying to help you. I never will forget, a fellow gave an illustration one time, a preacher. He said, somebody was just deballing, a man was just deballing. He said he was trying to get into the local church. And said he just a crying, talking to the Lord about it. And he said, I just can't get in. Said, it just won't let me in. And he was all broken hearted. And so the Lord spoke to him and said, well, don't feel bad. I can't get in either. Let's give the Lord a hand. So many lifetimes of God, the Lord will be with us and minister to us. All right. So then tonight, we're just being a brother too. We're just exalting and fellowshipping a little bit. But I'm telling you, folks, let's shout. Let's sing. Let's praise the Lord. But let's pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. That the same way that the Spirit started moving last night here in this church, that He'll move that way in your heart. I tell you what, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. You say, well, Brother Pike, you don't think God's moving tonight? Oh, yes, He was. I told my wife that it just pleased me well. Brother Hicks, it just went on because I could feel the anointing and the presence of God, and the sense that God was having a good time. And it would please me well. As a matter of fact, before I would come to church, I thought about just having him preach tonight. And I told Billy, I said, praise God, look at him. But I said that there was a different moving here tonight. The moving wasn't here for Revelation tonight. He was sure to praise the Lord. And he was praising the Lord. See, but having a mixed audience as to what we had last night, then God had to minister to them tonight. See, what if your pastor that did anything wrong? How did he come up here and do anything wrong? I ministered on a different level, in a different way, to keep your attention tonight in a different manner. To say these things to you tonight, to get over to you real godly living and real holy living, and getting out of this world and getting your life up into this world, or in this world, and realizing that you're going to have to serve God in a new way. To put behind you childish things and move into a greater way with God. As Paul said, leaving behind those things as children and moving into the great knowledge and mind of Almighty God. Now, I know a lot of people would question that. You know, they would question that. But again, I want you to think now. I want you to praise the Lord. I want to be careful not to injure any of you, especially as children of the Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. But to prove to you, I have to prove that what I'm saying is right. Because if I don't, questions will be in your mind. And then you'll never follow after the Word of the Lord. Wasn't Jesus our example? How do you believe that He was our example? And the Bible said we should follow in His steps. You'll never find them shouting not one time.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Now somebody said, well, bless God, wait a minute. I said, I thought I was following the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it, it's all right. It's all right. It's going to be all right. We said it's all right. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
All right. Somebody said, well, he wasn't emotional. But everything he touched got emotional. That's not true. Many things he touched didn't get emotional.
Amen.
Many times he told them, he said, be still and know that I'm God. I've been there where he preached to the multitude.
Amen.
I ministered where he ministered. I ministered on the Sea of Galilee. I ministered in Jerusalem. See, I'm just saying that it wasn't because he didn't believe in shouting. If he If you did not believe in it, why does the Bible magnify where David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all his might? And if there's something wrong with praising God in the dance, why does the Bible say praise Him in the dance?
Amen.
Why did Miriam take her timbrel and take the sisters and dance before the Lord?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? There was nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. David didn't even have the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given.
That's right.
He's not given some deepness there. I'm going to let you have just a few minutes. Alright, so then, I'm just telling you, what was the difference with Jesus? As Paul said, he put away the childish things.
Amen.
No record where Paul ever danced. Isn't it right?
That's right. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Stand with me.
Yes.
No record where Peter, James, Paul, or even the disciples.
That's right.
Can you dispute that?
Amen.
All right, Peter.
Now see, I wouldn't have said these things because I don't want to put a damp on your praising the Lord. I'm trying to bring Scripture to let you know to praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I'm also trying to let you know that there are some things that are so much harder out of your reach, so much greater than shouting and dancing.
Amen.
That there is no comparison with it. For the Bible said these things that are abundantly above your understanding, so great is the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
That eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men at any time.
Amen.
These things that God hath prepared for them that love Him,
yes.
But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Amen.
Pray that God will grant unto you the Spirit of revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
And let God speak unto you as unto spirituals. Somebody says there's nothing wrong with ball games. As long as you're feeding off of television programs. Somebody says, well, there's nothing wrong with that either. I said again, there's nothing wrong with it for the heathens. You know, there's nothing wrong with salt when you feed it to pigs. But human beings ain't got no business going down there. The Bible said the old sow, after she's washed, she'll go back to her wallow in the mire. You know, the grace of God takes away the sins of the world. And God takes away even that our children, He'll clean up the old sign. But she's a pig by nature. And the dogs will go back to lapping their vomit. Isn't that right? They're going to go to them ball games and shake their soda pop and spirit and eat their popcorn and pop their bubble gum. And a lot of times, as I've heard it, run into the fence and can't get out and thousands of them get killed or something.
Amen. That's right.
5 years ago when the great blimp fell over. Are you listening? They're going to go their way. They're going to do their things. That's their way. That's their nature. They don't know no better. The Bible said the God of this world, even Lucifer, He's blinded them. They're blind. You see a blind man, that's a type of spiritual blindness. Everything natural shows something spiritual.
Amen.
See, they're blind. Somebody has to take their hands. The Bible said that they cannot see when good comes. They're blind. Even the eyes of their understanding is blinded. And Lucifer, the god of this world, that loves the things of the world, that saves the things that be of the flesh, he's blinded their eyes that they can't see when this great, wonderful thing of God comes, which is the knowledge of God. You know, a little child doesn't have any knowledge. He's just a little child. Anything he can think of, he'll do it. From shooting marbles to anything else. And fights you over his marbles. But a grown man won't do that. He might kneel down sometime and flip a marble over, as my dad used to do with me to encourage her. He might throw a ball. You know, to encourage the little mommy might even do it. But when dad becomes a ball player, somebody says, well, you just brought him up on the other side of the hill and you can't appreciate ball games. It might shock you to know that my dad was a ball player. And that my uncle was a professional coach. And I came up playing ball. Praise God. I can say it ain't worth nothing. I've been there. I've been in the slop in the hospital. Somebody said, well, I just didn't enjoy it. It's because you have a big nature. Oh, somebody says, it's about time to get close, preacher. I'm getting closer to it all the time. All right. I know that God's got a sharp sword, twist. I said, we ain't back up in the fellowship, or you know, the little pen. And my daddy was playing on high horn. But let me tell you, as long as I feed off of ball games, as long as I can be satisfied with some kind of a radio program, or a little house on the prairie. How do you know anything about a little house on the prairie? News travels. I heard about it. I got some Bethlehemites that loves to watch the Little House on the Prairie. It happens in the best of churches. And folks, as long as you got to be in society, you know, and you got to be with these people out here that's up in society that wallers in the modern night and tries to wash it off before daylight. These people that's got a conscience so ugly and filthy and dirty, those professional people that you call professional doctors of divinity. One fellow used to call them Dr. Flopping Doctor. And these professional men that smoke in medicine, I'm talking about everybody.
Amen.
And all these great dignitaries. You said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you speak that way of dignitaries? I wouldn't speak against a dignitary for nothing. Them folks ain't dignitaries. Them folks are pigs and dogs. Somebody's liable to believe it. Well, why would they eat slop? Why did they go back to the wallowing in the mire?
Amen.
Why do they laugh their vomit? Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't see anybody. Well, there's some of it here tonight. See, he had eyes to see and see it.
Amen.
God said, all of my tables are full of vomit. My, that takes you about all the church is doing. And since it's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means devils and demons.
Amen.
But he said, they come unto me and they like to come unto me as they that have done the will of God. But he said, they didn't do it. And he said, you know what vomit is? They're lukewarm. I spewed them out of my mouth. Now they're vomit.
Amen.
What it is, you just can't recognize vomit. That's what it is. You say it's not vomit because you don't recognize vomit. You say it's not slop because you are a pig. But when you go after the things of the world, you went after the slop. And you went after... Now see, you done got me to preach a little bit now. I just gonna talk to you. And that way, been a nice preacher, I come near and see he's the finest kind of bone. He don't hurt nobody's feelings. Nice life. He told us we didn't see it, didn't have nothing to worry about. And I hear the way he's talking tonight, I'm sure that I don't believe him like he does. So I probably won't be back no more. All right. So then the side, Jesus said after that she's been washed, goes back to the wall of the mire.
Amen.
I can see it's getting late. Got time for me to close. But folks, let me tell you, if you're going to make the translation and you're going to heaven, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to come out of the world, be a separate people, touch not those unclean things. Those things are unclean. And choose not the way of the heathen. You're going to have to come out of that. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to live holy. And you're going to have to talk holy. And you're going to have to walk holy. And you're going to have to be holy. The Bible said, be holy for I'm holy. To be therefore perfect. Even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Somebody said there's no perfect people, Brother Pike. The Bible said Job was a perfect man.
Amen.
And the Bible said Mark the perfect man among them. And the Bible said God is perfected forever when they're sanctified. I guess there's no sanctified folks here. If there is, then I'd like you to raise your hand. Not some sanctified folks. I guess you're telling me you're perfect. I said, I guess you're trying to tell me you're perfect. I thought you said you wasn't perfect, folks. But it is, folks, we don't know where we're going, we don't know where we come from, we don't know where we're at. In this very thing of speaking as to perfection were some of the things that I want to get into tonight as to tie in with what we got into last night.
Amen.
See, but to do that, I'd have to, like Paul, I'd have to preach all night.
Amen.
And then you know what would happen? I'd have a small congregation in the morning if I had any. All right. So then we're telling it like it is. It is the true fact that you're going to have to come out of the world, be a separate people, give up that life, and give your life to God. And folks, you'll leave the children. You'll leave the children where they're playing. And you'll leave the beggarly elements of the world. And you'll get out of the business, and you'll grow up in God. And you'll begin to take on the knowledge of God. And you'll begin to be great and mighty in God, and great and mighty in faith, and you'll begin to be about your Father's business. And God will begin to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. And you'll find you're putting your treasures up there. And you'll forget about building houses and buying cars and getting a diplomacy of life and finding a place for the celebrities in this world. And you'll go on and be about your Father's business. And when you shout, you'll have something to shout about. And when you sing, you'll have something to sing about. And when you rejoice, you'll have something to rejoice about. Like a person that got up the other night and made a confession in our men's meeting. He made a confession, an all-out confession with tears. Somebody across the street that was one of his relatives, they had a testimony concerning what's going to convince them. His confession. He said, well, what was it? They said, the hypocrite. Well, they didn't have no right to say that. Well, somebody said that he'd just taken their car away from them. They put a lot of money into it, and he didn't have no right to take it, and he wouldn't take their car away. So, see, they were sinners, and they were thinking according to sin, and they said, the hypocrite. What would you have said? Some of you that supposed to be Christians, you know what you'd have said? Something worse than hypocrite. Some of you done worse.
That's right.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right, let's stand together. This is the Word of God. We're telling you the Word of God tonight. And just talk with you a little, just exhort you a little bit. And try to encourage you in the Word of God to let you know that you're just barely scratching the surface. Barely scratching the surface. And you need to get into the things of God. I'm not standing here telling you that even those people in Bethlehem, that many of those people are deep in the Scripture. There's people that's been there for a number of years, and they're almost a pest. They know so little about God, and they meddle in so many people's business, and yet they're regular church attendants, and they don't know nothing about God or the Scripture. But on the other hand, there are people that love Jesus, and there's people that are growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And we touch base with people in different parts of the nation and the world that grab this thing, and they get into the Spirit of God, and they're getting into these things of God. And folks, let me tell you, it's not one thing. It's not a sermon. It's not just preaching 5 or 6 nights for a revival. It is thousands of deep, hidden, great, mighty mysteries. For the Bible said, great is the mystery of God. And Paul said, I'm a steward of those mysteries. And it's required of a steward to be faithful. So then let me tell you here at the church, I love you. You're very wonderful people. You've listened very courteously. And you've tried to make me welcome. And you won't love me. If I grab this mic and run out there like I do, when I feel like I ought to do it, and when I'm not congested, and I'd have shook you and stirred you a little bit tonight, to where you're dancing and hollered and clapped your hand, you'd have shown enough love. You'd say, boy, he's got it. He's got it. Well, I heard the word. Now I know he's got it because I saw the other thing too.
Hey, come on, man.
But somehow or another, God wanted it this way.
Amen.
And I believe with all of my heart. I believe you've got a wonderful pastor, as far as I know. I met him, he seems to be a fine man.
Amen.
And I believe there's some wonderful people here tonight and this year last night. I believe that. But folks, I'm telling you from my heart. We sing that song, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. I believe for this church. I believe for this area. I believe for the people in this area. That it's time that they begin to move up in a spiritual place and grow in the knowledge of God. I believe that as much as I believe I'm living. It's time that you begin to apply yourself. Get with that Word of God. Get on your knees or fasting and praying. Not just fasting and praying. You've got to get with the Word of God, folks.
Amen.
Fasting and praying ain't going to do it. You've got to get with the Word of God.
Amen.
And then fasting and praying. See, and turn this Word into Spirit. This Word's not just a printed page.
Amen.
It's Spirit. It's life. I said the other night, it came to the prophets before there was ever a printed page.
Amen.
And they wrote these things as they were moved by the Spirit. It was Spirit. It came to a printed page. Now it's a dead letter to many people.
Amen.
And that letter's judgment is dead. But we've got to bring it back to Spirit. It's got to come back to Spirit and life. You say, well, that's where we praise the Lord. As children. As dear children. But we have to go beyond that. We have to go beyond that. There's many a person in hell tonight, and I believe you'll agree, that were some of the most shouting people that ever lived on the earth. I've known some of the most shouting I ever knew. Even at the local church where I went when I was just a young fellow. I remember one woman, she comes to my mind. She was there. She controlled that congregation. And she'd shout that preacher down. That preacher hardly ever got to preach. Because she'd get to feeling good. And she felt so good she had to shout. And so good that she had to holler. And so good that she just went on and she wouldn't quit. Till she got the others hollering and shouting. And they all felt so good that they shouted the whole service away.
Amen.
And then when the service was gone and she was tired and wanted to go home, she didn't have time to listen to the Word of God nor the preacher. And she wore everybody else out and they wanted to go home. And she went home and did with her television or to do the things she done all day long.
Amen.
Come on, folks. I'm telling you what I know for sure.
Amen.
So then, I believe that God is wanting you to move up. It's wonderful. I thank God for what you're doing. I thank God for your praises. I believe that was real tonight. When you was praising God and Brother Hicks was up here, I believe that was real. I believe it was real. But folks, I've received in the Spirit tonight that you haven't moved on with God. And that God wanted me to come here to exalt you a little bit and even to get into those things that we did last night, a few things, so that you will think it over and realize that you're going to have to move on with the Lord. All right. If you want to sing one, of course you. But the final step. Let's sing this little chorus at the cross, can we? I'm congested to where I can't sing very good. Let me try. At the cross, at the cross, when I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolling, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. You don't have to come here tonight, stand here. Lord. We're going to sing it again. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sorry if you don't feel the pain, don't come. Everybody came last night. But if you don't feel the pain, don't come. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. At your feet, sweep over my soul. Let's sing it like this thing. I'll be back for our soul in God's Savior. I'll rest and will stay on. No more. And though the tempest did not sweep out of the wild storm, but in Jesus I say, come on. So we make it our soul. It's a good thing that the song began. And we've anchored our soul. And tonight, we're here to renew our vows. We're here to renew our covenant. They said, Brother Pike, this is a Baptist church. I know. I was converted in a missionary Baptist church. So now you preach my vows for a Baptist. I didn't say I'm a Baptist. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
We're first called Christians at Enion. I preached to the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. But he was a hard preacher. Somebody says, how hard did he preach for the pipe? Back then, Baptist preachers preached people into the altar. That's what I got to say. That Baptist preacher preached me in the altar. They preached, they didn't play. They preached so sweet running down their face. And they preached the gospel. They didn't know a whole lot. But they preached. How hard was Billy? Billy was so hard. He preached so hard against drinking whiskey. He was an ex-baseball player, pitcher. And he preached so hard against most things.
Hallelujah.
And they said when he left the city, the employers could afford to give their employees a raise. So many people that quit drinking and come back to work. And he preached so hard against whiskey. But he gave a little illustration. He said, he was talking about a big burly fellow hitting a little woman. That man drinking and going in and hitting his wife. He preached so hard. He said, if I'd have been there, I'd have knocked 7 different kind of pokes out of that old heart. That's kind of hard. That ain't the way I understand it. That ain't the way I preach it. Because the Bible said the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. But I'm just telling you, don't be surprised if you hear some Baptist preachers and it's a little strong. I'm here tonight to preach the gospel to you, not as a Baptist church, not as a Pentecostal church, not as a Methodist church, not as a Catholic church, but I've come to preach to you as a minister of righteousness, to preach to you Christian people that love the Lord and to people that are not Christians that need to be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You'll never see it because you have to get eyes of understanding in the true nature, you have to be born again to have the mind of Christ, because you cannot see it
in the other way, only through the mind of Christ. So all standing here tonight, I want you to lift your hands up, close your eyes. I want you to think on these few things that we've said to you in the last two or three nights. We're going to push this meeting and just, like I said, got into it in an evangelistic way just to have a revival. But I have to make a confession to you. I didn't come for that purpose. I really didn't. I do go places for that purpose. But I didn't feel led to come here for that purpose. I told my wife, I failed to come here to exalt you, to talk to you, to try to get the word of the Lord over to you. You know, not to come here just to try to get people converted and win souls, even though that's what we do everywhere we go, is try to win souls. That's our main drive. Travel all over the world to do it. But the Lord let me know that there was a few people here that he wanted to deal with, and that he's got his hands on. And he's wanting to bring them into something. And even though I didn't get to talk to you tonight about those things, I did a little last night. The first night I didn't. Last night I did a few of those things last night. And I was so enthused over it, I thought, God, tonight, I even told him why, tonight, the Lord's will, we're going to get into them deep things by the help of God, sure enough. Because them people really laid hold on that last night. But, as I said, having others that come and are just babes, and others maybe that don't understand, others that would jump off of those things, God did not allow me to do that. So I just took another way. But anyway, I've enjoyed being here. I'm enjoying this. I thank the Lord for it. I thank God for you people. And I know you love the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you weren't concerned. And you wouldn't come praising the Lord if you didn't want something from God. So tonight, while you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask God to touch you. And I'm going to ask God to do something for you. How many of you would like to have the spirit of revelation? You know, I've got a lot of black brothers and sisters that are my children throughout the nation and the world. And there's numbers of them that have gotten into the mind of Christ. And they've received the hidden mysteries. And they're going on into some greater things with God. And I'd like to see you do the same thing. And you can, if you want to. You can. All right. Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes while we're praying. The Lord has been good to me. He has healed for me. He has done many wonderful things. We had cancer healed a number of times. We've gotten reports concerning cancer. And we've had other things that's happened, some outstanding things. Where we went to the hospital and things that are astounding and even astounded me. Many things that we could write a great book about. And even today, while I was praying, I haven't even mentioned this to my wife, but I was talking to God in my room today, praying for you, praying that God would save you, God would strengthen you, God would heal you, and God would take you on into the deep, wonderful things of God, that you might grow in the knowledge of God. And even today, the Lord was telling me he was going to open some blind eyes for me. Even today. God is so good. He is so good. He'll unstop the deaf ears. He'll open the blind eyes. He'll make the crippled to walk. Not everyone that comes up, not everyone that you pray for will be healed. But it isn't because God doesn't want to heal. God wants everyone to be healed. Someone would say, Brother Pike, if God wanted us all healed, he'd heal all of us. All right. Is it God's will to save everyone? The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, not even the wicked. All should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Why isn't everybody saved? Because of unbelief. And that's why everybody's in hell. When Jesus was in a place, he said, many mighty miracles or things, works he could not do because of their unbelief. They kept saying, well, this is a man, this is a man, this is a man. But nevertheless, God gives us the visitation through men and through women. So tonight while we're standing here, just remember, God wants to heal you. It's his will for him to heal you. If you've got problems, and most people have, one way or another, they frequent the hospital and the doctors all the time. It's a sick world anymore. So if you've got something wrong, if you fear insanity, if you fear cancer, if you fear a heart attack, if you fear something happening to you, even poverty, if you always fear that you're going to lose everything that you get, that God gives you, some people can't keep anything, a car or a home or anything else, because they're always afraid that they're going to lose it, because the devil's always harassing their mind. But if you've got these problems, I promise you tonight, if you'll lift up your hands toward heaven, toward God, and believe, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe tonight, when I pray, God will do something for you. God will heal you. I've been praying for you since I've been over here. I'm not an evangelist that when I go somewhere, I go to see the sights, and I get out all day long and eat and drink and frolic. I was in my meeting on the Philippine Islands for X amount of days.